Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JSW Energy Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Majumdar from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. We have the conference call of JSW Energy Limited today being taken by the management team comprising of Mr. Prashant Jain, JMD and CEO, Mr. Pritesh Vinay, Director of Finance and CFO, and Mr. Bikash Chaudhary, Head IR and Treasury. First of all, sirs, congratulations on an excellent set of numbers. Without much ado, let us now hand over the call to Mr. Prashant Jain for making his opening remarks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rajesh. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and it's late in the Friday night, but the power sector has been in the news for the good reasons now. To start with, the power demand during the quarter went up by 13%, and for the year till date, it was up by more than 7%. In the month of October till date, the power demand is up in excess of 19%. So all in all, we have been seeing a very robust trend of very high power demand, and because of which we are seeing a very high power deficit, the kind of a deficit which we saw in 2004 to 2006 period. And remember, that time the grid capacity was minuscule at that point of time, close to 85 GW, and today it is 200 GW. So the kind of a power deficit at this kind of a grid size, it translates to a large shortage of the power capacity. During the quarter, we saw a total capacity addition of 3.5 GW and year till date 9.3 GW, and now we have a total installed capacity of 425 GW. The merchant volume during the quarter was up by 26% and year till date 20%, and power tariff for the quarter was 5.9 on an average. For the company, the power generation was up 29% at 8.6 billion units due to higher renewable power generation as well as higher merchant sales. The company clocked highest-ever EBITDA of 2,008 crore and highest-ever cash profit of 1,180 crore and profit after tax of 850 crore. The merchant tariff during the quarter for our short-term sales was 8.17 rupees as against, just I mentioned, 5.90 rupees of the exchange price for the quarter. This demonstrates the capability of the company to do the bilateral contracts at a 35% higher tariff than the merchant tariff available in the exchange, and which also contributed a lot for this higher EBITDA. During the quarter, we commissioned 86 MW of SECI 10 capacity, which completed total year till date commission capacity of 216 MW. All our existing 2.4 GW projects are running as per schedule we have guided in the previous quarters, and you will be seeing all those capacities getting commissioned in the current quarter, current financial year, and next financial year, and as per the scheduled timelines. For the Ind-Barath, the boiler light-up has been done. Turbine is ready to be synchronized in the next 7 days' time frame. However, the transmission line, the one or two bottlenecks are being sorted out. We expect next month the unit one will get commissioned. Unit two will be commissioned as scheduled in quarter four. Mytrah did a very good exceptional performance in terms of the availability as well as generation. Generation increased by 27% year-on-year, and which contributed significantly to the EBITDA. As I had guided for the company that we are running ahead of schedule in terms of the integration as well as the EBITDA improvement program, which we guided to the street. You will be seeing in the current financial year, a lot of the hard work has been done, and then that will be flowing into the bottom line of the company ahead of schedule. Receivables improved 10% year-on-year, both for the consolidated as well as including the Mytrah. And that performance is going to further improve in next 3 to 6 months time frame. The net debt of the company stayed at 24,260 crore, and with the debt to EBITDA of 3.3 without CWIP and 4.6 with CWIP, weighted average interest cost reduced from 8.68% to 8.51%. And there is an interesting development which we have now to share with all of you is we have been guiding for next batch of our growth. We have disclosed that there is a visibility of 10 gigawatt which is getting commissioned by December 2024. Now JSW Energy has signed a MOU with JSW Steel for building 6.2 gigawatt of the renewable capacity, 2.7 gigawatt hour of the storage capacity, and 85 to 90,000 tons of the green hydrogen for manufacturing green steel. This 85 to 90,000 ton of green hydrogen will be associated with additional 1.8 gigawatt of the renewable capacity and 1 gigawatt hour of the storage capacity. All these things will be done by 2030. So this entails a total within the group around 9 gigawatt of or 8 gigawatt of the renewable capacity, 3.7 gigawatt hour of the storage capacity plus the green hydrogen and green oxygen. And we will be deciding in due course about the pricing mechanism, but what I can explain is that historically, whether it is third party or the group captive, we have been doing all our projects at least mid-teen equity IRRs. With this, I would like to open the forum for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, and congrats on a very good set of numbers. So just one clarification on the merchant sale. So fair to assume that this was done from Vijayanagar and Ratnagiri project, right?
That's right.
Right. And what was the quantum behind this 8 rupees merchant sale? I mean, how many units, etc. Sorry, your result came just now. I did not have a chance to look through the PPT yet.
You're talking about
during the quarter.
During the quarter, the total MUs that were sold in merchant market?
Yeah. And what was the, say, the landed price of imported coal for you, if you could hint on that? So those are the data points I need.
So on the imported coal, let's take that first. If you see the API4 index, which is the benchmark for the 6,000 kcal high GCV coal, that was actually down 65% YOY during this quarter, you know, to an average about $113 per ton, compared to the same time last year, right? And you will be able to kind of, you know, derive that, because we do, of course, just to, you know, reiterate what we have shared in the past, for Ratnagiri, we do, you know, a blend of low GCV and high GCV. And for Vijayanagar, because it is inland and there's an additional inland transportation cost involved, we typically try to go with maximum high GCV coal. So therefore, you know, you'll be able to, if you look at the standalone financials, you'll be able to compute the implied fuel cost. So we will not be able to disclose that separately. But coming to your first question, we sold roughly 660 million units of total in the short-term markets during the quarter.
Okay. And now that the power market appears to be tight, so, I mean, do you have bilateral contracts for third and fourth quarter as well already, or do you plan to kind of sign?
On a rolling basis, Atul, you know, because it works both ways. Like, you know, typically states are also, in the past, have been reluctant to go for, you know, longer-term bids. We have seen 7-day, 15-day, 30-day, but we have not really seen anything going beyond 30-day, so yet. But I think it's a matter of time. And historically also, if you see, you know, typically third quarter tends to be weaker.
So Atul, Prashant here. So the reason what I, why I explained this point is not from the point of view about the differential we have garnered. The point what I told is that power shortage is for real. That's why most of the DISCOMs are trying to lock in the power instead of waiting to secure it into the day-ahead market, because there is no reasonable assurance to get the availability of power. So the reason is to explain this point is to look at from that point of view, not from the point of view of the any other way.
Yes, sir, I totally agree. And so, just one more on that. So now that Ind-Bharat Unit One is going to be commissioned next month, so you have already, I mean, tied up on the bilateral side, or like you want to keep it completely merchant, or what is the status of PPA? I mean, I know in past you have spoken about keeping it open and trying to take advantage, but any thought process on that?
So, we would like to not to say anything about that part, because on a day-to-day basis, we take decision, and what is in the interest, we will be doing it depending upon the market scenario. But the point is that it's a really tight market, and it will remain a tight market for many months, quarter, and year.
That's true. That I agree, sir. And sir, any comment on the coal arrangement for, you know, Ind-Bharat? I mean, have you managed to tie up anything in from CIL or any other source?
So we source the coal from the nearby mines, and we already have the coal available with us in various auctions, and we have already secured the supply till January, and beyond that is already under tied up. So for the year, whatever we are going to produce, we will be having the coal, which has been already secured from the Coal India or its subsidiaries.
Through the auction mechanism, including the Shakti tranches.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Lavina Quatros from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Congratulations, Percy, on a good set of results. Just wanted to some clarity on Mytrah. How is that acquisition ramping up, and is it in line with what you were projecting of 1450 crores?
I think we guided higher number than that in our acquisition presentation, where we talked about 1650 odd crores of normalized EBITDA, which will be achieved by FY25. And whatever ramp-up plan for the increased energy as well as reduced O&M cost we had guided for, we are running ahead of schedule. And that is what I explained, that by the end of the financial year, you will realize that majority of what we guided for in FY25, you will see in FY24 itself. So it's doing pretty well.
And to add to that, Lavina, you know, of course, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, as Prashant already said in his opening remarks, he used, you know, the performance improvement asset optimization plan. So just to give you a flavor, you know, in this particular quarter, Mytrah generation on a like-to-like basis, YOY basis, was actually up by 27%. And that was primarily led by, you know, higher machine availability, which improved by close to 700 basis points on a YOY basis. And machine availability for the wind capacity stood at about 97% for the quarter. You know, similarly on the solar side, the actual generation was better than the P90 generation. You know, stood at close to, you know, 165 million units. So if you look at the delta increase in Mytrah generation improvement, almost half of that was on account of, you know, focused interventions in terms of getting higher throughputs, ensuring higher availability, and adequate spares management and O&M management, etc. So all of that is leading to better generation, hence better revenue, optimization of O&M costs, and therefore even at the EBITDA level, what Prashant was saying, that if you go back and listen to the transcript or the recording of the call that we had done for the fourth quarter of fiscal 23, when we had consummated Mytrah acquisition, we had guided to hit that normalized EBITDA run rate in about 18 months post-acquisition. But on a run rate basis point of view, we are actually ahead of those timelines. And all of that is reflected in improved EBITDA. You know, Mytrah reported an EBITDA of about 557 crores during this quarter. Over and above this, we of course have talked extensively about the benefits of lower financing cost due to a benchmark debt refinancing and debt resizing. And therefore, you know, Prashant mentioned in his opening remarks about how the weighted average interest rate during this quarter on a sequential quarter-on-quarter basis has actually gone down despite the, you know, the rate cycle not turning and MCLRs actually continuing to pressure upwards. And that was because the full impact of the debt refinancing at Mytrah was flowing through. And just to add to that and close the loop is, Prashant also touched upon that, is in terms of the receivables, what is happening at Mytrah portfolio. On a year-on-year basis, Mytrah receivables are actually down by 30%. You know, compared to the same time last year. So I think that all in all, operationally, financially, it's been a very robust integration and optimization play out of the Mytrah acquisition.
Okay, thanks. And lastly, on green hydrogen, would you like to elaborate a little bit on, I mean, you're expanding the plans, you'll have to import the electrolyzers. Anything else you'd like to add on that front, on the ecosystem?
So, Lavina, I will suggest that give us some more time. And so I think with this MOU, the whole objective is to first bring the visibility from 10 gigawatt to 20 gigawatt and also electron to molecule business. And now that is put it into the place. So maybe in a couple of months, you will see that we are talking about each and every item in detail. However, already our first green hydrogen plant is under construction. Equipments have been already ordered. We are going ahead with the alkaline technology. We are importing it from the Chinese manufacturer, and the construction has already been started, and we are expecting that by March 25, this will be up and running.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So can you elaborate on the status of across the PSP?
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but the line for you is not very clear. I request you to please use the handset while you're speaking.
Is it better now?
This is much better, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. So could you elaborate on the current status on the PSP side? We have signed LOI. We have got the LOI for 2.4 gigawatts. So exactly at which stage of development we are? And is this only across in Maharashtra, or this 2.4 factors in other states?
Yeah, thank you, Anuj. So all places we have already started the work, and right now the kind of a work which we are doing is in terms of the regulatory approvals as well as ordering of the equipment. So ordering of the equipment are in advanced stage, and regulatory approvals are with respect to the forest and environment clearance. So one project already the EC has been, is in final stage. The meeting has been concluded, and we will be receiving EC within the current quarter. And also the forest clearance will be also available by next quarter. And we are expecting once EC and FC are in place in early next financial year, we will be starting the construction. And by the time the project equipments will also be ordered. Other than that, there are total six projects which are in advanced stage of similar regulatory approvals and also the plant ordering. Because later on, when we see that there will be a lot many bids which will be coming up quickly, we want to create the complete preparation. So there are total six projects where we are moving very aggressively. They are amounting towards in totality of 7.8 gigawatt of the capacity with around 6.5 hours of average storage time. Those are being done in parallel with respect to environment clearance, forest clearance, land acquisition, and also the ordering of equipment. And we will keep them ready. And as soon as we are able to lock in the bids to supply those storage capacity, we will immediately start the construction and issue the notice to proceed to the equipment manufacturer. So this is how the status of PSPs.
And will it be possible to specify the quantum for which we are awaiting the EC next year, sir, on which we believe, we expect to begin the construction? What would be the quantum for that?
So we will not start the construction until unless we win the bid and do the financial closure. So please understand what are the various enablers to start the project of PSP. First is that you get the allocation. Second is you get the regulatory approval. Third is you win the bid. And fourth is you do the financial closure. So these are the things. So what we are doing is the allocation part is done. We are completing the regulatory approvals and then keeping the ordering ready. Now there will be the two milestones which we need to achieve before we put that into the construction, is winning the bid and doing the financial closure. So once we win the bid, then at that point of time, the turnaround time will be very, very less to put them into the construction. So we will be able to tell you as soon as we win more bids.
Fine, sir. And lastly, all these seven projects are in Maharashtra, or we have across other states as well?
Across other states. So it's in Karnataka, it's in Maharashtra, it's in UP, and it's in Rajasthan. So these are 7 projects which are in advanced stages.
Okay. And if I may please, you know, ask another question which is related to your modern manufacturing thing. So it's like what we heard in the last call is like we are probably shifting the base to another state. Could be Rajasthan. So any development over there, sir?
So it is in Rajasthan. We have already acquired land. Boundary has been done. Equipments have been ordered. We have also secured an incentive package from government of Rajasthan. And it is now under construction. And as per schedule of March 2025, it will be up and commissioned.
Oh, fine, sir. This will be for 1 gigawatt?
Yes, right.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm done. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Kishant and Pritesh. My first question is on the MOU that you have signed with JSW Steel. This generation capacity of 6.2 gigawatt is basically going to explain 60% of the increase that you do from 10 gigawatt to 20 gigawatt by 2030. So this is just formalizing the contribution that steel would have to your capacity expansion beyond 2024.
Yeah, so this is 62% of that capacity, plus in addition to that, another 1.8 gigawatt which will be coming up for green hydrogen manufacturing also.
Right.
So all in all, total around 8 gigawatt we have a visibility, plus we will be doing sticky projects or maybe acquisitions, maybe we will be having C&I portfolio. So all... everything is available in front of us. So whatever is remunerative, we will continue to lock it. But you can really see that 80% is having a clear visibility, which will be within the our control.
Right. So now, given that you have 80% visibility, is there, any sense of whether the 20 gigawatt number itself is going to get upgraded?
So, Sumit, I think let's talk it about it maybe 1 year from now or 1.5 years from now. And if we see that we need to revise our guidance and come out with a strategy 3.0, we will be certainly doing that. And if you ask me personally, as my confidence, yes, there is a possibility that we will be doing better, because of better balance sheet, better cash flows, and better visibility. But at this point of time, we stick to our strategy 2.0.
Right. The energy storage projects, as I mentioned in the MOU, of 2.7 gigawatt, are these going to come from your pumped storage hydro capacity, or is it going to be new battery energy storage system projects?
So combination. So it will be, Sumit, combination, and depending upon the needs. So we are seeing that 3.7 gigawatt hour will be for JSW steel perspective, 1 gigawatt hour for hydrogen, and 2.7 gigawatt hour for coupled with a RE generation. So, but it will be a combination for sure.
Right. So this 2.7 gigawatt hour is separate from the storage solution that you will have to combine with the RE power solution for green hydrogen.
That's right.
Right. Right. So, I mean, in JSW 2.0 strategy, you had talked about a 20,000 crore kind of an EBITDA by FY30, almost a 6 to 6.5x increase. Over the 30 billion plus rupee run rate that you were doing. So that number, if I were to just, think aloud here, has an upside with this MOU that you have signed, because there are fresh projects which have got added to the tally.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Also, if you could speak about, you know, the battery energy storage system project in terms of progress there, have you tied up, battery, etc.? How close are we to actual implementation of the project? Because you have earmarked this for completion before CY24 end. And an associated question on the, you know, the site program, is there any progress in terms of bids being submitted? And when is progress expected there?
So we are absolutely ready. I think there is a little bit of delay on signing the PPA because there are certain approvals which SECI is taking. And since it's being the first of its kind project where central government is also giving certain subsidy to the DISCOMs who are availing this, and there are certain procedural aspects of that, and because of that there is a delay in signing the PPA, which can happen any time. And once we sign the PPA, we will be immediately awarding the contract, and we will execute the project as per the schedule, because the time taken will be not much. Other things are already ready. And we do not see any kind of a challenge in terms of the execution of the project or on the timeline which we have guided for at this point of time, but there are the procedural delays.
Right. And how is that site program progressing in terms of, you know, new opportunities coming up there?
The site, yes, it's work in progress, and, you know, as and when the tender under the National Green Hydrogen Mission is done, we will definitely evaluate. I believe, you know, originally the bids were supposed to go sometime in September, and then they deferred it. So let's wait for that. But yes, I mean, that is another potential optionality, you know. But you know, with this MOU that we have signed with JSW Steel, it puts us in a very, you know, a relatively better spot to participate in the site tenders, because you now have an end-use project to be eligible for. Is almost like a PLI equivalent scheme, that what site really is, right? So we will actively be looking at that as and when it comes up.
Because the most of the people who are talking about the green hydrogen, they do not have any buyer available to them. And this MOU does is there is a buyer, there is an application to manufacture green steel, and so it puts us in an absolute competitive advantage.
Yeah. And finally, on the 300 megawatt, 2.4 gigawatt hour pumped storage hydro project, where you have the LOA in place, what exactly, you know, is the stage of progress on the ground?
I just explained to the previous speaker, I think Anuj was asking the similar question. So if you missed it, I will once again repeat it, that we are in process of taking the regulatory approvals, EC and FE, which we are expecting that by end of this financial year, both will be in place. Equipment ordering is going on, and we are expecting that early next financial year, we will be putting that into the construction. And as I also mentioned, that in order to avoid such kind of a situations later on, we are already working on total, including these two projects. There are five more projects, total seven projects. We have already started these preparatory activities to take various regulatory approvals, land acquisition, as well as the ordering of equipment. Once we secure the bids and then do the financial closure, those projects can be put into the construction stage ASAP.
Very clear. And so if you start construction on this first 300 megawatt, 2.4 gigawatt hour next year, it would take another 24 months to complete it, or?
No, it will be taking 36 months.
36 months.
36 months to 48 months. So depending upon the projects, one project we feel that 36 months, another could be 42, 45 months, but we will be guiding that in due course.
Okay. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moderator, can we please take the last question, please?
Yes. The last question is from the line of Rajesh Mazumdar from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I had a couple of questions. Is the company looking out for any more coal assets with no PPAs under NCLT? Are any other such assets available or are we looking at them? That was the first question.
So Rajesh, we continue to look at various opportunities, and as and when we find any good opportunity, we will certainly try to, you know, lock in. So for record, you can consider that anything and everything which is available in the power sector, we are interested in it.
And you do find any such opportunity still available? That was my question actually.
So that's a tricky question, but you know, there are a lot of opportunities which are there but which are not available at a reasonable price, and there are certain opportunities which are available for a reasonable price. So at unreasonable price, every lot of things are available.
Okay. And so my second question was on the JSW Steel 6 gigawatts addition, and in fact I was also the JSW Steel call a while ago. The company has clearly mentioned that the capex funding for this will be a shared kind of funding. So would you highlight how this is going to work out in terms of the funding by JSW Energy and the way it's going to operate?
So it is as per the act wherein there is a captive power policy wherein these projects will have to be housed under a SPV. And the power procurer has to take 26% equity into that SPV, and balance will be by JSW Energy. And based on that PPA, the debt will be coming into the SPV for supply of the power. So this is how it is going to be, and this is how all our existing power projects, whether it is thermal or renewable, for group captive are structured.
Yeah, Rajesh, it's just exactly the same what we are doing for the 958 megawatt in the current pipeline of projects under execution. So it's a similar model under the captive scheme.
Okay. And when you give the capex guidance, you're obviously including this inside that, right?
Yeah. It will be similarly, like we have already guided for a long-term capex plan, which is under the strategy 2.0. And so it will be guided under that.
Right, sir. That's useful. Thank you so much. And I don't think there are any more questions. So thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. And if you would like to make some concluding remarks, we can conclude the call.
No, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And happy Navratri and happy Dashera to all of you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.